Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewing You Podcast, episode 286. We are climbing up the ladder. Unfortunately, this thing showed up today. I don't know, like he popped in the back of my truck. I don't know how that happened. It was majestic, but scary at the same time.
You stopped in front of my house, didn't it?
But that's a whole other story, guys. We got a special. Oh, first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who tuned in last week. Great episode. I got an autograph cap from our past wrestler, man. Awesome, awesome. There you go. Autograph to me, not to Chew. So I want to say thank you so much. But let's get going because we got a lot of stuff to cover today.
Yes.
And we got a very special guest with us. So let's jump on that bandwagon and let's go.
Live from the historical Villa Cortez and straight up Gray Skull Studio. Welcome to the podcast where the mics stay hot and the stories stay real. Broadcasting from the RGB and across the globe, we're sitting down with wrestler creators and underground talent making noise their way. This is the Chew and Who Podcast. Let's get into it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm having a conversation with Chew right now. No dark humor today, guys. I'm sorry. Oh, don't tune out. Don't tune out.
No, don't come back. Come back. I'll say something.
But today, we have a special guest with us. We are literally shifting gears. I know we've gotten the wrestling thing for the last couple of months, the first 3 weeks of every month of wrestling.
Thanks to everyone for keeping tuning in on that. It's been really great.
Yes, yes. And now that we're going YouTube Live, the next show, if you are watching this right now on Facebook, this is pre-recorded, but you still comment, guys. We admire everybody's comments on the show. We really appreciate you guys. But today's guest, oh man, this is going to be an interesting one. Today's guest, we have a gentleman that I had been eyeballing for a while, and I wanted to reach out and see if we can get him on the show. And by the grace of the stars, we were able to talk to each other, and we got him on the show because this is totally left field, guys. We are talking with Dr. Luis Rios in the house, man.
Right. Good to be here. Good to be here,
man.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, man.
Oh yeah, great to be here, man.
Up, man. This is what's awesome. And he goes, okay, and I already got the first. You see, I told you, Doc, we got clients that kick in real quick, and the first customer, can that doctor do anything? I mean, anything for Chew's face. Guys, no, we're not doing that today.
You know what? We were gonna save that for the end of the show.
Yeah. We've been working on it. It's gonna take the whole show. It's sort of figured out, I think. I gotta reach deep back there and poke all my tricks out, right. My bag of tricks.
Right. I see what's happening.
I think we got something. We probably got something.
I see why I was invited to the show.
And this, right here, it's gonna be the first clip of the show. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate you. Oh, by the way, that was Joe. We beat Roy Bro Joe.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
But anyways, Doc, I'll put you the three screens on here. Welcome to the pod.
All right. Welcome to the pod. I'm glad to be here, man. It's all 956 here.
Yes, you know? Yes.
That's what it's all about, right?
That's right.
We're connecting up and talking all about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do, like I said, from the beginning of our series, when we first started, we try helping out as much as we can with local artists, business owners, you know, stuff like that. And you know, when we stepped into the arena of getting really a little bit higher caliber people like yourself, Tim Smith, and all these radio DJs, we're like, wow, we are really stepping out of the circle, comfort circle here. But having you on here, you were officially our first doctor in the house in the podcast. So thank you so much for.
Oh, well, I'm honored. I'm honored, you know, because, you know, we all come from the valley and, you know, a lot of people put us down and stuff. But, God, there's a lot of talent here. A lot of good stuff. A lot of good food. A lot of beautiful women, too.
Man, you know,
Oh, yeah.
I'm married to one of them.
Yeah,
all right, I'm married to one of them.
You better watch yourself then.
So we have you on the pod. We want to really go back. We want to touch base with you. Where are you from? Where you grew up? What got you into in plastics and all that great stuff, man?
Talk plastic to us. Surgery.
Yeah, plastic surgery. Surgery. Yes. Yeah, plastic surgery. Yes. We want to go, you know, where it all started, Doc. Go ahead.
Well, it probably all started with my dad. He was from Mexico City. And, you know, just a crazy story, inspiring story. His dad died when he was probably 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. His mom just baked cakes. And but, you know, he would get scholarships and get his school paid for. And he was always, like, number one, in, you know, in Mexico City. And decided to come up to the United States to train and left his mom behind and all that. Oh. And so just really, you know, just struck out on his own, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who actually brought the family here to the Valley. He trained in San Antonio, and I got here when, in second grade. And he started his practice in 1971. So his practice has been around for 55 years.
Wow.
Because of him. And he could have stayed in San Antonio, but he really liked it down here. When he drove down and saw all the palm trees and the bougainvilleas and stuff, he just knew, you know, this was the place to be. You know, and
it felt like home to him.
Yeah, you know, you were there in the United States, and then but you also had Mexico.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that,
and
absolutely.
Back then, you could go to Reynosa, right? We'd go every Sunday, go eat lunch in Reynosa, run around, buy some chiclets, you know, and stuff like that, right?
Have a real good time on a Sunday.
So it was like, you know, so... he's the one that got us here, and man, I loved it. From the minute I got here, I loved it, you know, and so I'm proud to be from here. You know, so many people from here are not proud or they just put it down, but I always loved it here. So I got here in second grade and, you know, all the way through high school, went to my training, but I always knew I was going to come back. This place was a special place. And, and you know, the other thing is, you know, when you do have the opportunity to, you know, get some skills like this, where there's, you know, back, you know, in that day, there's not that many plastic surgeons. It's really nice to be able to come back to, you know, and bring what you have to bring it to your community, you know.
Yeah, so bring up, kind of bring up your hometown.
Yeah, and there just was no doubt, you know. Like, I loved high school. Man, I had a blast. I loved going to the football games. I would buy season tickets for the Edinburgh Bobcats because I went to Edinburgh High School.
You know,
so there was big time clashes, you know, Mack High and Edinburgh and PSJ and all that. Weslaco came
which is weird because I didn't know McAllen had a football team.
Watch it, be careful there.
That was an inside thought. I'm sorry.
I'm not going there. But it may be true.
Here we go. Let it all start up. I'm sorry, guys. You got to see that. I'm trying to do this all behind. My camera just died, but I got a backup right here, so we're good.
There we go. We're back.
Maybe you should have taken a hint there, buddy.
Well, buddy, you know, we'll talk about that after the show, right? Let's get back to our guests. So we're talking about where you grew up and all that good stuff. So your dad, Mexico. He was getting all these scholarships, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you mentioned, you know, growing up here in the Valley, like, what's your favorite memory, you know, going, you know, just something that really grounded you here that really made it feel like home?
You know, it was wide open spaces, right? Mm-hmm. And you could just drive. You could drive to the country road. You could take your girlfriend out to the country road. Nothing was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, the drinking age was 18. You know, so senior year high school, you could, like, buy your beer and have good times. Going to the football games. Just, you know, I think it's just being
you
able
mean
to
that,
hang.
That law doesn't exist now? I'm just joking.
But, you know, just hanging out, because, you know, these days when kids get together, you know, they're on their phone and always like, hey, let's go over here. There's something going on. Back then, there was nothing going on. So you'd say, hey, let's go meet at the Orange Grove at, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And then whoever showed up. And
you had to make your own fun.
Yeah, you just were bopping around and hanging out. And, you know, and man, you know, like, the cops weren't on you. It was just a wide open space. You know, if the cops did catch you, they're like, hey, you know what? Get home. Get home right now before you get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know,
the typical parent on four wheels that always knew what was going on. I got you.
You know, it was just a different, like, real mellow, relaxed time.
It was just
great, you know. And again, going back to it, you know, because I went away for college, you know, the women were second to none. And the food, right? I mean, second to none, right? I mean, so... What was there not to like about it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, consider the fact the food down here, everybody raves about it, man. It's one of the best food you can have. You come from the RGE, man. You're You're gonna like the food. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, when you're gonna like the grandma's food, making homemade tortillas and you know tamales and all that, you're not gonna get that anywhere else. You know, like there was just Taco Bell everywhere.
The best part was like it didn't even have to be like your mom. If you go to your friend's house,
you know you're
getting good stuff over there but too.
Once I got to California, you know it was different. They have different Mexicans in California, right?
Yes, they do.
They eat burritos and all this kind of weird stuff. Like they don't know what a taco is, right? Like a totally different breed than us, you know.
We're
the Tex-Mex, you know, put on the cowboy boots and have a good time and you drink some Miller Lite and Bud Light and Corona and you can have a party with just very little, you know.
Absolutely.
Did we just become best friends?
No, you stay over there. You stay way over there.
No, so after college and everything, all that good stuff. When did the business start up? When did you start growing on that?
So, like I said, my dad was already here, right? So I came back in 1998.
Okay.
And so I had offers to stay in different places that I had trained. Mm-hmm. But I always knew, like, why wouldn't I go back to the Valley, you know? Now, it wasn't that, you know, there wasn't that much, like, the cosmetic surgery and all that. So I did, like, a hand surgery fellowship, so I was doing that and reconstructive stuff, fixing things here and there.
Right.
But then when all that Extreme Makeover and the Swan and all that stuff came out, then it just kind of exploded, you know, the plastic surgery stuff, what you think is plastic surgery.
Right.
That wasn't when I first got here in 1998. And, you know, back then there was no Starbucks, there was no books. We didn't have franchises.
Right.
You know, even back to 1998, it took into the 2000s, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, again, wide open spaces, lots of opportunity. You know, you could start a business. The banks would loan you money. They won't loan you money now. So it was a totally different time and relaxing, peaceful. But you could see, man, the community was like, it was starting to burn, right? You could see it. The gears were going, you know?
The people,
you know, Alonzo Cantu and, you know, like it was putting together stuff. And then you start getting the Killer Bees and the Vaqueros are here now. And all the franchises are coming, you know?
Right.
See, like you've lived here in the Valley long enough, like we have, that you see these things, they're growing. So someone who hasn't like been around for very long, what you know, really just doesn't really pick up on it very.
Do you guys
much,
remember like Mr. Q and Burger Chef?
Bro.
Right?
Bro.
Yeah.
Right. And then on Sunday the HEB's closed, everything's closed. You know, so it's just like, you know, it's come a freaking long way.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, dude, you blew my mind when you said Mr. Wow,
Mr.
Bro,
Q,
Mr.
Man.
Q, bro.
With the little French fries and stuff, right?
Oh, dude, man, that was amazing back in the day.
Those were the good old days.
I was I had to hide in the back seat because my parents would go. I would have got hide in the back seat because I want to get something to eat also. Yeah, man. Shoot. Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, it is. And then, like, when you guys talk about wrestling, I'm not into the WWE and stuff anymore. You know, that's a younger man's game. But, man, there was only Channel 4 and Channel 5. You said you had Tim Smith here, right?
Yeah.
So there was nothing. And the TV would close down at 12. And do you remember, like, on TV at 10:30, they'd run this thing. Parents, do you know where your kids are? It's 10:30 at night, because we were always playing outside, right? But on Saturday, just listening to your show, you know, and just remembering like the old time wrestlers, Jose Lothario, Ivan Putski, all these guys, you know, that started all that, all here in South Texas.
So
my brothers be watching, playing, wrestling each other, and doing that. Yeah. It just brought back a lot of good memories.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the Von Erichs, man. I was a big Von Erichs fan.
Yeah, the Von Erichs and all that. And then going to the Pulgas, and then they've got all the Lucha Libre and stuff like that. So brings back a lot of good memories. You know, there's a lot of culture. You know, we don't know till you leave. So, okay, so I went to Harvard undergraduate, you know, and so I could write papers about growing up here, and the professors and all that would be just blown away because it's so different from what you get, the white bread experience.
Right, exactly.
Something different, right?
Well again, that kind of goes back to what I was saying. Like, you've grown up here, you've seen the changes, you know what's, you can pick it up, because like someone from the outside, they're not going to see anything, you know?
They're just judging us versus Austin, versus San Antonio.
Right.
They don't see, like, my God, like what, every year, right? You get on the highway and you drive and you go like, all these cities are connected, right? What's the goal? We're seeing all the way from freaking Sherryland and all those, all the way here, it's almost like one city, right?
Yes.
You know, and it just wasn't like that, you know, back in the day. This highway was just a little two-lane, little dinky road to the island, you know?
That's right. So
it just, you just have to get on the road and just be amazed. And so, you know, it's I mean, I would have never thought. Did you guys ever think when you were growing up, I guess that NAFTA stuff brought all the business? You know, it just was so slow for so long.
It was. Yeah. We were so cut. It felt like we were so cut off.
Right.
Because like you said, like compared to like San Antonio or even El Paso.
Yeah.
Things were really, you would see stuff happening there.
Yeah, I mean, they would get all the heavy metal bands go to Corpus, you know, and they would fight.
You know how jealous I was of that, bro.
You know, we would just get Triumph and some of these other, like, lower tier ones. We didn't get Def Leppard and all these guys,
like,
right?
And if one did dare to come down here, it was like some kind of miracle that they thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
To come, you know, what, another 2 hours south of San Antonio.
Yeah, like we were freaking isolated back then,
no
you
kidding.
Know?
Yeah.
You know,
but, no sport, I don't mean to really toss that out there, but, I mean, there's been bands that have come down that are, like, at the time, I remember in the early 90s, there was a couple of good bands that came down to the old-fashioned venue.
Yeah,
back in the day. And one good example was Megadeth. Megadeth came down 1 year, and, you know, great. They just barely started, but there's always that one bad apple. It just takes one, guys. Just one bad apple to mess it up for everybody, man. One person decided to throw a wet towel, and it fell on the mic, fell down. And he steps up to about to sing, and he gets shocked right in the lips.
Oh, man.
And he just, you know what? F you guys. I'm out. And he just walks.
You Mexicans.
Bro, dude.
Crazy, bro. That's what it felt like. Yeah, dude.
And to see that, I mean, I've always said that. I mean, we want, my parents say, we can never have good stuff in the house. We can never have good stuff in the house because you're all breaking stuff. It's the truth.
Well, who had the kids? Who was in the bedroom?
I don't think that was my fault.
It was my fault, Mom.
You fell for it, Mom.
Were they Catholic? Or what?
We're going Catholic. But seeing the valley grow, I mean, you come back from where you're at, now you're seeing slowly through the years, you've seen it grow more and more, you know, and to be honest with you, as far as like you said, the cosmetic surgeries and all that stuff, it wasn't really a thing down here. It wasn't that, you know, there was, if you knew somebody who knew somebody that knew, you know, someone else. It's like knowing people that you would find that person that was, you know, that was qualified to do that, you know. But now, this is like a fast lane now that I've seen now.
Well, you realize, like, a lot of people back then didn't really talk about what they had done, you know. It was...
Yeah, and I think everyone thought, like, that was just for the movie stars. And it pretty much was, you know, because... Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, just to get a little technical, is that back then the insurance companies actually paid the doctor, like the doctor as well, you know, so... So the doctors could, like plastic surgeons could make a living on doing dog bites and other stuff, you know, wasn't cosmetic surgery.
Right.
My dad actually didn't do much of that, of the cosmetic surgery, because he made a good living off the other. And then they kind of clamped down a little bit, and the insurance companies, and so that's almost kind of how I had to go about it, because I really didn't come to do that. I was going to do like real serious stuff, like I did microsurgery and all this kind of stuff, and then they just clamped down. So I was like, okay, I got to find another. I got to you know, raise my family. I actually almost, like, in the first 3 years of coming here, almost quit medicine.
For two
reasons.
Oh, wow.
One was the insurance companies, but the second was the lawsuits were out of control down here.
Gosh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dude, you would just, like, I remember one time just, like, somebody had a wound on their leg, and so they consulted me to, you know, close the wound.
Mm-hmm.
I just closed the wound, and the next thing you know, I'm getting sued because they were blaming some other people, but every doctor that's on the charts can get sued. It doesn't matter.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't matter whether you did anything or not.
They would have totally put you on.
Yeah, just because your name's there. And, you know, they throw you off the case, but you'd have to, like, you'd have to go get an attorney to represent you and spend the money and the time and all.
Right.
So this place was freaking crazy. This was known as, this in Corpus, were known as the worst place in the whole United States. And so that's really that's what kept a lot of people away from here, you know, a lot of specialists. But then they changed that, and then now things are real good. We don't have to really worry about that anymore. But yeah, so my intention wasn't to be doing all these breast implants and doing all that. So that's not what I was going to do. I want to come and help my community in other ways, but then the economics kind of force you that way. But I enjoy it. I mean, it's a lot of fun for sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. Go ahead. I know you have a question. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking to myself, I know your career has kind of changed as you said, as you've gone along. What kind of like kept you from like leaving? Like what was it that?
Well, you know, back in our day, and I would ask all my college roommates, I'd say, you know, when we came to, we were all going to get married, right? And have kids at some point, right? Like these days you hear the kids and they're like, I'm not getting married, you know, or I'm going to wait till I'm 35 or whatever.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, you know, so we were going to, you know, I was going to get married and have kids. So I thought, man, this is a good freaking place to raise kids, you know, and the schools got better. There were better high schools and stuff like that. So I think that's what kept me here was that it was just a great, and the cost of living's great.
Right.
You know, and then I had a ton of business. There weren't that many plastic surgeons, so I could just do whatever I wanted to do, you know, for so long. And so it was a no brainer. And then if you think, you know, people like, well, you know, they live in Dallas or you can just hop on a plane on a weekend and go. You know, you just go if you want, or you just stay here. I love it here. I love the sun. I love it. You know, it's a great place.
And I've always heard that, you know, price differences of stuff that is like, you know, somewhere in San Antonio, somewhere in Dallas, Houston, bigger cities, Austin, you know, they say, I'd rather go down to the valley with RGV because I could probably find someone that'll do the job the same way and maybe even less.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I've heard.
You know, I lived in California. I did like 5 years of general surgery training in California in the Bay Area. They don't have HEB. We don't know how blessed we are that we have HEB down here.
I keep hearing that.
You know, and how they freaking take care of us. Like Mother's Day, they have the cops out there like, come on, guys, you know, doing the traffic. And when hurricanes come, they come and, you know, bring things in, right? Yeah. Water. I mean, the prices are great. So like when I was in California, a little toothbrush could be like $6. Wow. You know, that would cost us here 79 cents, you know? Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you all, family members, like from my wife's side and other people, when they come and they go to HEB, they'd just be blown away, you know, with the fruit that's there, the food, the costs, everything that's available.
Right.
You know, and HEB's penetrated in South Texas, but they're going to the bigger cities, but man, there's no, when you go, have you guys gone to Safeways and all these stores? It just doesn't compare.
It doesn't compare.
And then they, you know, they also have, you know, Mexican food and stuff like that, and guacamole and tortillas and stuff. So they cater to us. So we are so freaking lucky, and it's so inexpensive compared to even the price of gas. Like the price of gas would be like $5 there and like $1.50 here.
Right.
Because of all the stupid taxes and they have in California. That's why everyone's coming to SpaceX and Elon, because the valley is less expensive, right?
He's in
Brownsville, right?
Right.
That's part of it. The taxes and the expenses.
Yeah.
That's it, man. You know? So, yeah, we have a little gold mine down here. Don't let the word out.
You know what? If you're watching, turn it off.
If you're not from here,
no. Elon Musk is here. Like it's not much longer.
He'll be on your podcast soon, I'm sure.
Hey, he's very much welcome.
Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Say the word, Elon. Everyone's fired.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it is like you say, it is a little gold mine down here. Not many people know about this area. I mean, we are on the map as far as like, you know, as far as what hits the valley the most, and I have to say, and it's happening right now, is a spring break. Spring break is one of the hot spots here in the RGB. The only reason why is for South Padre Island and, of course, our brothers and sisters to the south. You know, there is a high volume when it comes to the month of March. It gets so packed, you know? So
there's so many just naked women running around and just traffic and...
Yeah,
naked women.
Bro, let's not go there. Come on, dude.
And just, you know, it's just debauchery and drunkenness.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, Doc. You didn't need to hear that.
No, I mean, you know, that spring break started when, I don't know, when I was in college, right? So I actually brought my college roommates down. I'm actually going to go see my college roommates. We were actually going to meet here, but we're going to meet somewhere else because we had a famous trip for spring break down here. Okay. And we took them to Reynosa. You know what we did in Reynosa? Have you seen those guys with the battery packs?
And they Oh my gosh, yes.
And you hold on and everyone holds it in a circle and you see who's going to bitch out. So we're all just holding that damn thing like, you know, so yeah.
We just became best friends. You know, I know what we're doing next year.
Battery challenge.
Yeah, you know, that's so, yeah, I mean, it was so different back then. We could just, you know, did you guys ever know about Eddie's going across the border to Eddie's, like in Reynosa? Like, you're in high school, you're going across on Friday and Saturday night, sneaking out, your parents don't even know. And it was safe.
Oh, my
gosh,
just
walking
dude.
Around. You're just having a good time. Wow. Beers for, you know, less than a buck.
I hear you, and everybody's
there from all the high schools, so it's super safe eating the baked potatoes on the streets and the street tacos and just going to the Alaskan club and dancing.
Wow.
And
I was like,
I mean, you got to partake.
Have you seen the Alaskan? What's the La Concha? Anybody remember La Concha?
No, I never.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah. Good. That's another one.
But you know, it's like, that's what we had down here, right? So, yeah, that was great. You know, I wouldn't give it up. That's when you have these memories, like in your head, Mr. Q and the Alaskan, you're coming back.
You're
coming back. And it's changing, but there's still good stuff here. Right. You know, I'm never going to be one that's like, oh, I wish it was like it was. No, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You know, and it gets better, and so it's right.
I'm getting questions already, and one's from, of course, Joe. Joe's watching.
Oh, for God's sake. Block him.
He's asking, Doc, and this is not my question, and you can see the screen, Doc. It's right up there. Mm-hmm. Because I want to know the wildest plastic surgery request he's had. Oh, gosh. You don't have to answer that, Doc. No, you don't want to. It's okay.
I mean.
But you kind of do, because you're on the side.
I remember my dad got some strange letters back in the day, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, okay, this is funny if we can go here. It's really funny. I hope you guys don't take offense, but a lot of times, you know, what we do is 98% women, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's not very many men. Exactly. But we will get phone calls. Can you enhance a man? But it's usually the wives that are calling.
Whoa.
Wow.
So, you know, that's that kind of
so
goes.
So there is a possibility.
So it's kind of funny. Okay. Usually the guys aren't calling, you know. Hey, I'm fine, dude. I got no problem there. You know?
What are you talking about? Look at all that.
That probably kind of, you know, that gets to that edge, you know.
Wow.
That gets to that edge, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That kind of takes me back to something I saw on TikTok. This guy goes in and he goes, "Oh, we finished the surgery, Mr. Swanson." I go, "Oh, cool. Yeah, we got 3 inches out there for you." Wait a minute, what? I go, "Yeah." So you mean to tell me I had 3 inches in me? I go, "Oh, yeah."
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry I went there.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Yeah, we can handle it. We can take a joke.
Oh my gosh, but man. So like that's one of our brothers from next door, man, that do the podcast with us.
Okay,
he just had that question. I guess he had to get it out of his head or whatever, man. But
we'll see now. His wife is gonna be.
I'm not saying that. I have to, uphold the laws of privacy and stuff like that.
Plead the fifth.
Turn the cameras off.
Oh, we're going dark right now, guys. We're back in cover right now.
No, but that's crazy, though. You know, you would think, like, you know, you get calls from people who want, you know, well, you know, I just want to get this done or this tucked in or something like that. To have a significant other calling for their significant other.
Wow. Sometimes the boat rocks that way. Sometimes you know it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry, that's not equality.
But another thing I wanted, like, I know how many surgeries under your belt, Doc, more or less. I mean,
I actually got asked that yesterday, and so I think I just kind of did a quick calculation, probably like 10,000 or so, like,
whoa,
since I've been here.
Wow.
But you know, obviously in my training did more. But yeah, I would say 10. So I was, it was a husband, right? So I was like, yeah, just like Tom Brady, you know, got to throw 10,000 passes to become that expert, man, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah, the more repetition, the better you're going to be, right?
Right.
Yeah, so,
I mean, when anybody says plastic surgery, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, you know, car accidents, people that have been damaged, you know, either face or arm or, you know, whatever it is.
Really? The first idea that comes into my mind are BBLs and lip injections.
Shut up, dude!
Rhinoplasty.
But, you know, it's interesting because everyone, you know, before we all knew this, right? Everybody's plastic. Do you guys use plastic?
Yeah.
You know, is that why they call them plastic surgeons?
Yeah.
But it actually comes from the Greek word called plastikos, which means to change the shape and form.
Right.
Right. So, but that's what, oh man, you guys use plastic to do stuff, right? Don't put any plastic in me.
I'm good. But it's crazy, man, because, I mean, you know, seeing, you know, there's always sitcoms that have, you see it all on sitcoms. Yeah. You know, you get misinformation and a lot of stuff. You know, one, the first thing that crossed my mind when we're going to have this podcast, the one that crossed my mind was Nip Tuck. That was something that just, a show that I watched with my wife. It was just drama after drama and tragedy after tragedy. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this can't be real, man. I'm not sure if someone's telling a story or this is just something Hollywood put together.
I have to say, that was like one of my guilty pleasures back in the day. They were always getting in it, but then they would like find their way out of trouble, right? You had the serious guy and you had the crazy guy, but sometimes the serious guy got in trouble and the crazy guy had to save him.
It always happens.
It's always, dang, I wish I had a partner like that. You know, I wish that would have been a lot of fun, you know, to have somebody that was like,
a little bit more interesting.
But you know, just like anything in life, you know, there's plastic surgeons that are not such good people and do dumb things because we're just all humans, right? And so sometimes the smarter you are, the more trouble you can get in, right?
The more resources
you have and stuff, the more trouble you can get
in. Right,
right. So it's not, you know, it's not something that I've never heard of, you know? But it was a little extreme, but boy, it was like, that was just a real guilty pleasure. I love that show, you know? I love that show.
It was a great show.
It was a real great show, man. Yeah, one of the guys, the one of the actors that was one of the crazy guy, he actually
Julian
died.
McMahon.
Yeah, he just died this past year.
Yeah, he passed away.
I think he had cancer and stuff, but he was a great actor, man. I thought it was good. And then that did give more visibility to plastic surgery.
Right.
Because we had all the Extreme Makeover and Swan stuff, but then that was like this drama thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, you know?
It had the backstory behind everything.
Man. It was pretty wild, man. I wish I had a partner like that. You know? That would have been fun, man. Just watching him crash and burn and saving his butt, you know? That would have been a lot of fun, you know?
You should put an ad on the monitor, man. somebody would have answered.
Maybe. Well, let's take a shift gears here, and we got our sponsors to take care of here, buddy. So first up, we got Casas de Reyes. Guys, you're looking to get yourself a brand new home? Give Casa Reyes a call. These guys are great quality homes and quality service, and they're always thinking about how you don't have to crack your bank account. They try to give you the best quality services possible. Give them a call at 956-376-8372. Great. I know Joe's watching. I know they did his home with that.
Yes.
They did wonders, man. It's a very beautiful home.
It's a beautiful home.
Just give them a call, man. Let them know Chewy News sent you. Also, another big person that's on our list also is also a big sponsor for us is Anonis Construction LLC. Residential, commercial, remodel, renovation. These guys do it all, man. Another great guy. They've been really busy. I know they've been doing parking lots for a lot of incoming commercial businesses that are coming in. I'm not sure they finished the Edinburgh parking lot yet.
It's still under
construction.
Yeah. You got to give me those numbers.
Oh, don't worry. We will hook you up.
Finder's
fee. But no, give Tony a call, guys. He's a great guy. Click on that QR code. It'll take you straight. Or if you want something with Concrete Solutions with Anora also, they do that also. Great stuff too, man. real high quality craftsmanship that these guys do. Licensed. Both contractors that I'm talking about today are both licensed contractors. They will get people out there that they know and trust and do one heck of a job for you. So give them a call, hit that QR code, and let them know what you knew said to you. And last but not least, Inked and Saved Tattoo Partner in Edinburgh, Texas with Freddie Honda. Great guy, man. I know I'm going to be on his podcast, not next week, but the following week on a Wednesday. It'll be on a Wednesday night. It's going to be a kind of a different style of podcast. I know they talk about a lot about faith and stuff like that, but I think we're going to be talking about mental health that day. So I was invited to come in and talk with him. So this will be... it'll be something different, so you might want to tune into that. Also, just to let you guys know, they do hold Bible studies. Also, I'm not sure if it's on that same Wednesday or they do it on Tuesday nights. If you feel that you're going to be doing up to no good, head out to a tattoo parlor. The doors are open. Sit down, listen to the word, and, you know, it is what it is, man. Freddie's a great guy, man. He's come a long way. We've seen him growing up through the years, and he's doing great things, man. So God bless you, Freddie. Keep doing what you're doing. So we're back with Mr. Dr. Rios here, and we're still talking about stuff. That oh, Joe actually answered back. I'm sorry. I didn't put that on there. Joe said, I took away her phone so she can't ask. Well, Joe, we'll make sure we hit
oppression.
We'll hit replay for her. So, you know. Also, you know what? And since we're on that note, Joe, I know I want to tell you something, buddy. Welcome to parenthood. Congratulations to you and your wife. Man. You got a little one. You know, you got Luke. I know you that's what I'm going to call him. That's all I'm going to say.
Nerd. He's named after Luke Skywalker. What a nerd.
You know what? Blessings to you, man. You and your wife, man. Yes. And
congratulations.
I know how it is to wait for that little special someone to come into your life. And you know what? God bless you both, man. So that being said, we're coming back with Doc, man. What's a consultation look like, man? When we have a patient walk in, yeah, you know, they're walking in for the first time, you know, they're not really sure. They want to, but they're not really sure how to approach it. What is it?
All right, what the hell can you do? I mean,
you know, every once in a while I get that, you know.
Well, this isn't working anymore.
You gotta watch out, because if you're like, well, your nose, there's something wrong with my nose. So you just gotta just be like, hey, well, what are you looking for, you know?
Right.
So I think the thing, I think a lot of, you know, what we do is, if you really look at it, we're helping people with their confidence, right? Like my main patient is going to be like the mommy makeover patient. You know, our mothers do so much for us emotionally, physically, financially, you know, and sometimes they just don't feel good about themselves.
Right,
I was even talking about this in another podcast. Sometimes they feel so uncomfortable that they don't even get in family pictures.
Right.
And stuff, right? There, I'll take the picture, you know, because they don't feel good. They
start stepping
away from life a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And if they're married, maybe they're not with their husband as much because they don't feel comfortable and at work and the clothes, you know. And so they just want to get back, you know, to where they are. So a lot of it is just kind of trying to help them identify what they're, you know, what they're trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. So when they come in, I have a certain process. But one thing that I have that's really cool is, what's the question that all the people ask? Like, or what am I going to look like? Right. So
right.
I have that technology where we can take your pictures and enhance you a little bit, fix your nose, mm-hmm. you know, look at things like that, so people can really have an idea what they're going to look like. And then I do my surgery in my office. I have a whole facility there. So we kind of go through all the ins and outs of that. But, you know, I will tell you, you know, I love operating, but probably the thing that I love the most is when I see my new patients, get to know them and connect. And then sometimes I look like, you know, you're talking about this guy who does parking lots. Well, I'm looking for someone, right? So you connect sometimes. Hey, you know, tell me about your experience. Oh, you're a border patrol. What the heck's going on there these days?
Right.
Oh, you're here working for the city. What are they planning over there? You know,
you can
like talk and have a normal conversation and mm-hmm. get some, you know, I have a blast, you know, I don't mind. And you know, my staff will, you're running, you know, you're going to be here late. I don't care. You know, like, I'm just enjoying that, you know. When you're in the operating room, you're in four walls, you know, with the same people. Here,
right.
you get to break out, hang out with people, try to get them comfortable, get them towards their journey, what they want to do. You know, try to, and you know, because it's kind of weird. I mean, it's almost like what you do. I mean, you have to get your
your guests comfortable pretty quick, right?
Yeah, they're not all like, oh my God, what the hell?
What's going to happen, you know? We got to do this. Imagine someone's coming in and they're going to let you put them to sleep unconscious and then cut all over them. And they're making that decision in 5 or 10 minutes after meeting you.
That's pretty true, like, you know,
so you got that little bit of first impression, right? You got to make a good first impression and all. But if you're genuine, you come from your heart and you're trying to help them, you know, then it ends up being a great day. I mean, I love it. You know, I love laughing with my patients. And, you know, when I walk out of the room, they're laughing. Everyone's laughing. We're having a good time, you know. That's how I approach it. So it's a good time. So if you come to the consult, you're going to have a good time. I'm going to listen to you. We're going to talk. You know, sometimes people, I get on social media a lot and I talk and I do a bunch of little things in the swimming pool. And
I have to admire you, bro. Yeah. That's a nice swimming pool.
It was cold this winter, though. You know, it was a cold plunge. You know, so people will come in and they see that and then they thought, well, I didn't think you were going to be like that. Well, yeah. What am I going to be?
Right.
Not from the valley, right? Exactly. Like we connect. Right. That's another reason to come, right?
Like, well, people probably expected more, a lot more clinical, because like you go to your regular doctor, you know, that guy's not really, like, not really your friend, you know, or he's not trying to be.
No, and let me tell you, I go to my friends, and they just walk in and out, and they go, I'm going to give you this medicine. They walk out, like, and I'm looking at the nurse, what is this medicine? What's it for?
What's it for?
Well, how do I take it? Why is he giving it to me? And he ran out the door. He's not even explaining. It's like, what the heck is going on down here, you know? And then I remember one time I took my mom to have a surgery with a friend of mine that I grew up with, and he's a surgeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know each other. And I come with my mom, and they come to take her to wheel her out. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Where is he? Like, isn't he going to come and talk to me? I'm not letting you take my mom until he comes and talks to me.
Right,
tell me what he's going to do and what the heck's going on here. Like, what is happening? You know, like, and after the surgeries are done, the surgeons don't even go and talk to the fact. They just have the nurses. They just split. They don't even have the respect to go and talk to people. Like, you know, that's just not right, you know?
So, yeah. I mean, it feels the conversation that we're having is like it's more the bedside manner that you need to have with your patients.
In the business, chop, let's go. You know, they're just treating us like that. And I get treated like that. And I'm thinking that probably my patients are like, wow, this guy actually talks to us. He cares about us, you know?
Right.
Because, and I think that's a little bit of a difference when you get someone who grew up down here, right?
Yes.
Being a doctor, because we have that respect for families, right? We know how we're all, nearly everybody's related, right?
Right.
We're going to treat each other with respect. That's how our parents raised us. You're Catholic, I'm Catholic. That's what, you know, that's how they raised us to be like that, right? People come from the outside, they're just seeing dollar bills, right? Dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing connection with our with our people. Because
you know that...
This guy that I'm going to operate on his wife may be helping me with a flat tire in 2 months from now. Or some typical problem that I have, you know?
And he wants to help you.
Yeah, he does because you respected him, right?
Absolutely.
And he's happy to help, you know? And not that I go asking for help, but, you know.
No, but like, you know, just in the passing, you know.
Yeah, you treat people like, and that, I think my parents taught me that, you know, when I was growing
up.
My parents would have just whoever, you know, the guy who worked in the barn, sit down, have something to eat, let's talk, you know, it was like whoever, it wasn't a special thing, because, oh, you know, your dad's a plastic, it wasn't that, it's like anybody's welcome to come, so you always saw that, you know, you respected people who, you don't judge people for their status, it's like who they are, right, like, how they act, right? If they're not good people, you just kind of avoid them and stay away, you know?
Right, exactly.
But if they're good people, you cultivate that relationship, you know? And
yeah, because also, like, when we were growing up, you know, it wasn't just smaller in, you know, in the way that the towns were and that the community was. It was also because somebody knew your mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were acting up and acting a fool, they were going to hear about it, and then you were going to hear about it.
Yeah, and or they would maybe not tell, but they'd give you a warning. Hey, mijito, I know your dad.
Yep.
So you may want to settle down a little bit.
I heard that too many times.
I don't want to have to talk to your dad about this. You may want to settle down a little bit. Until it's not getting in trouble.
Yep.
You know, settle down. So,
I hear you.
But that was cool, you know, knowing people and stuff.
Yeah,
and that was another blast coming back, you know, just... You know, because then people knew me as a little kid, and then they see you as this, you know, what you did and stuff like that. So they're happy to be part of all that. And I'm happy to go back and visit my old school, St. Joseph High School, Edinburgh High School. I love it, you know, go to the football games, see people there. You know, it's a blast, you know.
Yeah.
It was a blast coming back, you know. Why go to New York or Beverly Hills or like nobody's, I'm just gonna be another Mexican over there. Right?
Have they ever invited you back to be a guest speaker for your old high school or maybe?
I've done a few things for them, you know. One thing that was really funny, back in our days, like football was king, right? All the sports were king, right? They didn't give Letterman's jackets unless you were like, you know, on varsity band or. And FFA got their jackets, FFA had nice jackets, right?
Explain that.
You know, they had freaking badass jackets, right?
Yes, they did.
Nice looking girls too, right?
Nice looking
girls, the cowgirls.
In the cowboy jeans.
I was valedictorian in my high school, and when I graduated, they didn't give me anything. I don't have any memorabilia from that.
Not even like the tassel?
Not even a certificate. Well, I was kind of a troublemaker, so they didn't let me in National Honor Society, so I got...
He was valedictorian.
Senior year, they wanted me, when they realized, oh, shit, we better get them because they automatically have that. I was like, nah, it's cool. I'm cool. I learned my lesson. I deserve my punishment.
Right.
No.
I demand respect.
But what was funny is Edinburgh High School moved to their new location. They were where Vela is right now. They were moving. And one of my classmates was there moving. And this was probably in the early 2000s. She's like, hey, I actually found your valedictorian trophy, like in 1982.
Oh, you know, no kidding.
Hey, dude, it was a thing about this big. It didn't even have my name on it. But I was like, I'll take it, man. They didn't give me anything, you know? They didn't give me a darn thing. So it's like, I think it's because I was a troublemaker. So it's like, let's not recognize this chapter in Edinburgh High School's history.
Let's make it to the record that this portion of the podcast has been deleted.
Let's not encourage this behavior with the younger generation.
No. We're making a speak about this.
So then I got to go back and pick that thing up, and the principal gave it to me and stuff. And I've done other stuff for the schools and stuff like that. But that, I thought that was kind of
cool. It wasn't the same principal from when you were there.
She was cool, you know. And so, so that was the only thing, you know, was a little thing like that, like 20 years later, right? It's like, okay, you know, whatever.
And it's sitting in my mantle as we speak.
Yeah, I have it there because it was all scratched up and everything. Because it was just thrown in a bin, you know? It's all like scratched. Didn't have my name on it. It's just like, it all scratched up and put
that. It's going to be in the center of his new parking lot.
That's what an education was worth back then. But you know what? The thing is, though, that, you know, I always talk about is because it was like that, there was plenty of opportunity if you wanted to advance and get ahead, right? Because most people weren't, you know, back in our... Nowadays, man, all the kids go to college. IDEA sends, like, we send 100% of our kids to college, right? They have a thing at the arenas, like, and they all go and say what college they're going to and stuff like that.
Right.
Back in our day, it was like 10% of the class went to college.
Yeah.
It was a lot less. Yeah. You know, back then, so there was lots of opportunities. There's still lots of opportunities here in the Valley, but a lot more back then, you know? So.
Yeah, I have seen the growth of that now, where some seniors, when you get into high school, you can get college hours now while you're going to school. And, you know,
they're getting like little pharmacy tech degrees.
Yes.
And so they can actually go to they can pay for their college while they're working during their college. I mean, it's pretty wonderful. You know how it is these days.
And one of the shows, we had people from TSDC show up, and they were talking about the classes that they have and programs and things. And I couldn't help but think to myself, man, I wish we had that when we were going and, like, coming out of high school, man. Like, I could have just had,
there were no jobs back then. I don't know. When did you grow up? What years did you grow up?
I graduated in 94.
94. Okay, so I'm way younger than you, but there were no jobs in the summer. There was no jobs. You couldn't get a McDonald's job or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There was just nothing back then. And now there's, you know, tons of jobs and there's opportunities.
If you could get a job at HEB, it's because you knew somebody.
It was hard to find, you know. Yeah. So different era now. Now people don't. Oh, that job is below me. I'm not going to go work at Chick-fil-A, you know. It's
I'm going to become a streamer.
What are you trying to say, man?
I'm going to do a podcast and force my friends to be on it.
Yes, I am.
even though they really don't want to be on the air anymore.
Yeah, but you got to grow up in the era when there weren't cell phones, right? 94, there were.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there weren't cell phones. I remember that popping. No, it was about to, it was coming out about then, right?
Yeah.
And
it was about the time where you were officially getting the actual computer and you're actually going to be able to jump online, AOL.
Yeah. Right. It was just little, you know, just words. It wasn't images.
Exactly.
It was pretty wild, you know? So you guys, but I think NAFTA was probably here by the time you were, like, it was starting to grow, wasn't it?
A little bit. It was just barely starting to grow.
It was barely kicking off.
Yeah. Weslaco hasn't changed that much in the interior of Weslaco, right? But out here on the periphery, it's done pretty good.
It's definitely spreading out.
It's been spreading out pretty wide now. The only reason why I'm saying that is that now I've been hearing that we're gonna have a Sam's now over here on North 1015. They're building something here in the new little center over here where Carl's used to be way back. That's where my mom used to work back in the day. It's slowly changing.
Going north too, right?
Going towards Elsa.
I won't consider Weslaco important until we get Skateland back.
Oh. That's a tragedy, man. That's a tragedy.
Until Skateland comes back,
this
town is not a success.
You know what? I'll throw in my two cents. I will not consider it great until we get Green Acres back. How about that?
We need Green Acres back.
Those were the days, man.
Sure. So many teenage marriages were solidified in Green Acres. it was Green Acres. There was Skateland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, like, this is why society is collapsing.
Yeah. This is why, right here.
This is why.
No Green Acres, right here.
There's no Green Acres. Skateland.
No Skateland. We're falling, people. Yeah.
The world is ending right before our eyes.
No. Quick question. Hangout spot. Besides Mexico. And he said Mexico, but hangout spot.
Hangout spot?
Like when I was growing up? Back in the day.
Dang, you remember there was like all these like video arcade places. There was one place called Magic Coin. Like on Nolana where the Barnes & Noble is. So, man, we used to hang out Mr. Gaddy's, do the pizza thing, movie places, you know. But back then, the video arcades were big time.
Yes.
You know, playing Defender and Asteroids and all that.
Dude, you're talking my language.
Yeah, we'd just be hanging out all night long there, you know. They even had them at the economy stores, you know. You go there and play, like, Defender and stuff.
Yeah, those were,
you know, and we actually used to go to the high school dances and stuff after the football games because, I mean, there was nothing else,
right?
I don't know if they even do high school dances anymore, but
I'm really not sure anymore.
Yeah, and then we'd go to, you know, Whataburger or Pizza Hut or something, you know, afterwards and just kind of hang out and stuff. So, yeah.
See. Now I'm going to ask this question. Now that I have somebody, when you said Pizza Hut, is it or is it not awkward that when you went to a Pizza Hut, Hotel California was always playing?
That was cool, man.
Am I lying?
No, you're right. Yeah. And actually, when I get my hair cut, my hairstylist plays that every time I go.
That's the thing.
It ages me or something. I don't know.
That's the thing. I remember growing up, every time we would go, my parents would say, we're going to get Pizza Hut today, or we're going to go out to your Pizza Hut. Now, I'm probably about, 8, 9, 10 years old. We walk in, and that's the first damn song that's on the jukebox.
You ordered a bunch of pizza and ate it, right? Yeah.
Stuff our faces.
You to eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
It had some subliminal message there.
Right? Yeah, then run to the salad bar. When there was a salad bar,
yeah.
Pizza Hut, when there was a salad bar, now there isn't anything there. But
whoa. You're not a salad bar. You are not salad bar.
You don't know my life, dude. You don't know my life.
I've seen you eat.
Let's not make quick jokes, you know?
Thanks, Doc. I appreciate you.
No. They're quick to tear me down at the beginning of the show. Now it's my turn. That's my turn.
There's nothing in you that says salad.
There's nothing in or around you that says
shut up, dude.
Salad bar is my vibe.
But yeah, that was a thing back in the day at the Pizza Hut. And they always had that arcade where you got to sit down.
Oh, yeah.
And you would play Pac-Man or table tennis and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so the Pizza Hut was right by the Edinburgh High School football stadium. So you go there, you know. It was just... different times, but pretty good. Pretty good.
What do you think of the wave of nostalgia that's going around right now? You know, I don't know if you've heard that, how people are more nostalgic for things like that. You know, as an example, I saw that there was one Pizza Hut still in Florida, I believe, that is completely original from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like the checkered tablecloths, the interior.
Dude, that's awesome.
The red cups that they used to serve the coke.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like they still have that entire setup there.
Do they still do the ice cubes?
Oh, I love the ice cubes.
Yeah.
You know, what I hear like from the, you know, these AI guys and stuff like that is that, and you're starting to see it when you now go to, actually it happened to my nurse when she went to see Bruno Mars, they make you put your phones away.
Yeah.
Right? So that you have to actually experience the experience. And so I think the younger people, we may be heading into that kind of thing where, like, when you go to things, put it away. You know, stay in the present, right? Don't be looking at, you know.
There are restaurants that I know, not naming restaurants because I don't want to mess up their businesses, but there are restaurants that are here in the Valley, family-owned. They have an actual Wi-Fi blocker.
Oh, wow.
An actual even service blocker. You can still receive phone calls, but you cannot surf the web.
That's right.
You're forced to put your phone away and spend family time. I'm not mentioning business right now because, you know, I know a couple of them that do that.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, nice. I remember when those cell phones, those big ones,
the out. Actual brick phone. So, yeah, I got you.
I had one because I had, you know, I was on call 24/7, but I didn't have to stay in the hospital. So they used to have the little beepers, beep 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 beep. But then they got that. But those you wouldn't turn on. Like you, just they were just battery charged. And when you got your beeper, call this number, you'd open
the pager.
It.
Yeah.
But then they started transitioning to the ones with the. And I remember sitting with my wife and seeing our restaurants and look, those people are like they're talking on the phone. They're looking at their phone instead of talking to each other. That was like really weird, right?
Because
when you went out, you were talking to the person, you were engaging here. And that was the first time. It was in the 90s, probably 95.
The interaction,
it was weird in that restaurant when that started happening, where people started looking like that instead of at each other, you know?
I remember it was the early 2000s when people started transitioning from the flip phones to the modern iPhones and stuff. I cannot tell you like the immediate difference that there was, because you know, I would go hang out with my friends. We would go to bars and stuff and hang out, and you know, we'd have our flip phones, but we'd at least be talking to each other. You know, every once in a while, a text message or something will come in. But as soon as we started getting the smartphones, like people stopped talking.
Yeah.
Like they were just scrolling on their phones. Like we'd all be sitting around a table, everyone who had a smartphone on their phone, just looking. I don't know what the hell they were looking at, but they were looking at something.
Yeah.
And not talking to each other, not interacting.
Yeah, not even in the present, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we have, right? Deal with it.
That's the way it happened, but it was, you just saying that, like, it really, it brought that back to me because I picked up on it immediately.
Yeah. You know, I took my family to Cuba a few years ago, right? I thought, before all this crazy stuff's going on. So there was one time, my wife and my daughter wanted to get on the internet. They don't have internet on Cuba. Like, you can't.
Right.
No, you don't.
You can buy a card for an hour, right, and pay for it like the old days. And so my wife, I'd walk them down to the hotel, and we were staying in their Airbnb. And so we were walking by El Presidente Avenue, and big lane here, and the middle part had like little fountains and areas. And we were walking by, and there were like about 100 kids, like 18 to 22, like around this fountain, some guys on skateboards, some on bikes, and they're just bopping around talking. And my daughter looks at me and goes, "Dad, is that the way it was when you were growing up?" Exactly. You know, because you had the guy on the skateboard talking to this group, then he goes and leans over and talks to this group, and they're all just like jamming like that, you know. And that's, and she's like,
"The good old days."
Like, "Is that the way it was when you were?" Like, yes, I'm walking her to get freaking Wi-Fi, right? Like, yeah, you know, that's the way it was, man. You know, we're in the present. And she's like, you know, I wish it was like that now, right? And most people will say that, but then they won't put their phones away because they're addicted, right? But interesting.
Well, I got something here from Joe. He goes, I'm going to put it up here. He says, "The good doctor is in luck because I got a business proposal for a putt-putt video arcade and I'm looking for investors." No, Joe!
No, Joe! Red flag, no. No.
Jesus. always trying to sneak in there, Joe. Yeah, Jesus, you and your business propositions, bro.
He was going to throw in a salad bar through.
He probably was. Yeah, if it was a salad bar, I'll be
there. If it was a salad bar, we'd all be in.
It's dinner time. It's dinner time. What have you guys seen the difference in Weslaco in the last 10 years or so?
Growing up in the town next door, seeing...
Go on, say it. Donna.
I see that helmet over there. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah, so growing up there for practically my whole life, seeing my little town grow, and then the big town next door, which was Weslaco, like I said, back in the day, Green Acres, Skate Land, or the hangout, or the bowling that was down on 1015, all these little areas were like, we don't have to drive all the way to McAllen. Right. We can just go right here next door and have fun. And that's what we would do. Or we would come down on Texas Boulevard. It used to be the thing in the day back a little bit, not too much, but it got bigger in McAllen, North 10th, where everybody would take their cars, drive up and down, and talk. That was the big thing. And Weslaco slowly started growing bigger. The Walmart came in, the little placita that was here on there off the expressway. There was more stuff. Then Golden Corral got tossed in, then Pet Boys, and also you just started seeing Home Depot jump there. Like, man, this thing is growing too fast. It's going to, and I'm over here like, when are we going to grow? When we are going to get all the good stuff? Fortunately, it finally grew. We finally getting stuff off the expressway now. We finally got a Cheddar's. We finally got a Walmart there, and it's slowly growing.
Yeah.
But I have seen Weslaco grow through the years. More stuff that's coming in left, right. The bigger names, Starbucks.
Amazing, right? Would you ever think that was ever going to happen?
No, I never thought. And the next big step, everybody's waiting for a Target to be here on this side of the valley. And do I know if it's coming? I don't. Mr. Valdez, if you're watching, hit me up. But that's something that I saw it grow. Yeah. How about you?
Just going towards my house, you've gone to pick me up and drop me off. All those housing developments that are around there, they were never there before. It was all just fields. They were cow pastures, they were corn fields and everything, and just seeing that change around my house, that's crazy. And then driving, like I said, Skate Land, when that was there, and Green Acres, like that was all on one street, and that's where you went, that's where you hung out. Seeing that street change, and just seeing, like you said, seeing Weslaco grow and expand, and not really understanding why, but seeing it happen, it's right. been really interesting and crazy in some points.
And it's crazy. It's crazy you say that, because I went up north side of Lubbock, and there's a little place called Abernathy right outside the skirts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went out there. It was for a funeral, but that little town took me back to old Donna, dude. The way it used to be. I'm like, dude, this is exactly the way it was back in the day. And I was like tripping. My wife was like, what's wrong with you? I go, this is memories for me, man. This like takes me back to when I was a kid. You would see the kids riding down the street with the bikes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, it's like if you go like towards where the HEB is in Donna, and that whole little plaza area, that's what it used
to be. Yeah, that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
Is that just a little, the place to hang out was Little Donna Park, middle of Donna.
Yeah.
You hang out there. That was it. And now, there's businesses all around it. But, they have changed the park, which it did make a little bit more improvements. But, being there in Abernathy, seeing that, I'm like, dude, this is nuts. He's like stepping back in a time capsule and see it all over again. I mean, you, growing up where you grew up, it's always been a big, to me, that's always been a big town. But from the outskirts, from where I look. But now,
See, like you to us, Doug, like you living in Edinburgh and going to McAllen, like you're a city guy.
Yeah, you're a city guy. You're a metro guy.
You're a metro guy.
It has turned into that. Isn't that interesting? There is an aspect to it of that, right?
Right.
But then we still have all the other parts too that are still there, right? But yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The nice thing is we still have, like, north, like, northwest Dakota, north Edinburgh, you know it's going to go all out in those directions, right?
Right, so, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it'll, oh, yeah, be, it'll always be good. It's going to be all good.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, it feels like the Valley is just going to turn into one big, you know, metroplex kind of situation eventually.
Yeah.
The way things keep growing and, you know. Yeah. Absorbing into each other.
Yeah. I think we'll miss the most is, I mean, well, I'm hoping they stick around long. The mom and pop shops. Those are the ones I love. I love walking to mom and pop shops, bro. I love it. I love them to death. They're fun to go check out.
Hey, look, that's part of the Valley tradition. You start up a shop and, you know, the community will show up to support, you know, a restaurant, you know, clothing store, like, for as long as you can, you know, you will get support from it.
Yeah. Right.
And I really sincerely think that will continue.
Yeah.
I hope that continues too. Yeah.
Doc, we're 1 hour and 4 minutes in to the podcast. I'm going to ask this question before we head out. Last question of the night. When it's all said and done, Doc, what do you want to be remembered by?
Oh, wow, man. You know, that, I think it, for me, I want to be a father, and that's probably what you leave behind, right? You can't take your money with you.
Right.
When you die, you can't take your house, can't take anything. So what you leave behind, right? Your kids, you know, your family and the people that you've, you know, that you've influenced. So I'm feeling pretty good in that department, you know? And then just, you know, I joked on another podcast that, you know, I don't watch Netflix and all that because I make my life in Netflix. It's kind of like my theme.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah, you know, right? Like, I like in that. My office, like, oh, okay, here he goes again. But it's like, you know, I just fill my day all day long. So I just, when I go down, I just want to go like I left it all on the table, right?
Right.
But having the kids and raising the kids and getting them to be good people, and they're very, very good people, I think, you know, to me, if this was my last day, I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I accomplished a lot, and I think that, you know, because you don't take your money with you. You don't take any of your possessions with you. It's what you leave behind.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Good
will be that you leave behind. So I think I think that's it. You know, right. Not more that I was a plastic surgeon and all this other stuff. It's more that, you know.
Right.
Yep.
That you were a good dad and you had a
family. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed that part. I was there a baseball coach and. You know, basketball, you know, and I'd always think, like, when we'd start the season up, I'd always be looking, like, is another dad going to come and try to take the team away? They never came. They never came. They never came. They're like, you got this. You know?
You did.
They never come. They never came. They're like, okay.
What second now.
I didn't want them to come, but I wasn't going to find it. But it's like, so... being able to be part of that, and then that just goes into being part of the community and hanging out and stuff like that, right? Not just being in this little Elon Musk space city kind of thing. It's like you're out there, you know, meeting people doing things. And being proud of this place.
It
shaped me, man. It shaped me, and it gave me a little edge, a little character, something a little different. A little Mexican guy going to Harvard was kicking some little Jewish guy's butts.
There you go.
It was a different perspective, you know? So it was just cool.
And usually you just watch, dude. Elon is gonna be Valley-fied. He is.
Oh, I'm sure, man.
You know, he's gonna enjoy himself a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think he might partake in the local talent. He has a few wives and like 22 kids. So, hey, why not a little Toxica? He can get himself a little Toxica down here.
Yeah.
A little Latina, you know?
Yeah, why not? You know, we're good.
So she might be able to set them straight, you know?
Welcome to the Valley.
We love them. We can't live with them. We can't live without them. Right? We love them. Gotta have them in our lives, right?
Well, Doc, I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for coming to the podcast, man. Getting to know you a little bit better, I mean, it's, like I said beforehand, for our viewers or people that are listening to the podcast, you know, they'll follow up on where exactly your place of business is, and they get to know you a little bit better, you know, a little bit more comfortable saying, you know what, he's from the Valle, he's a lot like me, we did the same thing growing up, and you know, it's, they feel more comfortable, and that's
one of us.
That's right.
But first things first, I want to say thank you once again for coming out and having some fun with us. I didn't know how or how this was going to shape out. Like I said, you're the first doctor in here. So,
well, you should be the last one.
I hope not.
You won't be the last.
No, nah, he'll be the last. But
get the defibrillator.
I've been hitting since the beginning of the podcast here.
Yeah.
But I want to say thank you so much for taking the time coming out here, man.
Thank you, man.
I really do appreciate
thanks
it.
For what you guys do, man. You know, we got to spread the word about the Valley and just stay proud, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Get to know each other.
And the offer still stands. $50. What can you do?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been thinking about it. I might have to
What do you mean you've been thinking about it?
I'm going to sleep on this one, okay? Right. You call it. Take this. Tomorrow. Call me in the morning. Yeah.
Take an aspirin first. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, buddy. You know what? I'm not coming back next week. Let's see what you
got to
do.
Don't make promises you can't keep, buddy.
Oh, you just watched me go.
But in other words, Doc, thank you so much. I appreciate
thanks for having me.
Keep doing what you're doing, man, and God bless you, man. Everywhere you step, you
come back anytime.
Anytime you want.
All right.
We'll go at it.
All right, guys. All right, care. Have a good night, everybody. Bye bye.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for the night. Chew, what do you think, brother?
Just another great show today, man. And, you know, it really brings back a lot of memories from the good old days, you know. I was thinking back, like, I had those moments myself, like, man, there's nothing to do. There's no, you know, there's nowhere to go. But, you know, the more I think about it now, it's like, man, I really just...
Could you imagine now having that peace and quiet, like, everything's so like coming at you all the time.
Yeah.
Back then you'd just be singing.
Yeah. You'd just be
with yourself, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, TV's about to turn off, so what are we doing, man?
National anthem, right?
Ya se acabó mi programa, ¿qué hago ahora?
Yeah,
we're right, no kidding, man. But yeah, another great episode for the books, man. Like I said, if you are watching this on Facebook, this is pre-recorded. We didn't answer back on your comments. I apologize, but this is just more in advance for us to spread the word a little bit more. So I appreciate every single one of you that's tuning in tonight on the live. Appreciate every single one of you that are watching it, after recording the aftermath. Make sure you follow, subscribe the podcast next week, 7:30 p.m. We have Eric Shadows on the podcast. I think he's still a green light, so he'll be on here. So I'll make sure I bring extra tables, because the last time I remember, he wanted to put Chew through one. So it might just... Doc, we might have the consultation in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Anytime.
Bring it on. I can curl myself up into a little ball. I'll show you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Doctor. Thanks so much for being here. Chew, sign us off.
I've been Chew.
And like always, we will see you next week, 7:30 p.m. Peace out, Lakers Gators.
Night, everybody.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino.